another day. Another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream.
Hello, folks. This is Jack Spierko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. As always, one man's view of the changing world, the changing economic times, and the things that we can do to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't. Today is Thursday, October the 9th. I believe this is episode 70. So we're rapidly approaching our 100th episode. And maybe we will do something cool on our centennial episode, episode 100. I don't know what that will be yet, but I've been starting to kick it around as I realized that we'll have 100 episodes soon, about 30 more shows, and we'll be there. So I think that's going to be a cool achievement. It says a lot about what we have going on here, that this show has grown so much. On the note of growth, I announced yesterday that we did hit our goal of, you know, bringing in 1,000 listeners via FeedBurner. And somebody asked a question on the forum, how does that FeedBurner stuff work? You know, is everybody that listens to the show showing up as a FeedBurner listener? The answer is no. If you just go to my site and you listen directly off my website, you're not showing as a FeedBurner listener. If you directly download my podcast from my website, from the homepage, you're not showing up as a FeedBurner listener, and that's okay. There's no, don't worry, you don't have to do anything. It's good to go. But I have pretty good analytics, and I look at the number of people that come to the site every day and look at the total number of subscribers via FeedBurner, and what I'm able to determine is that there's about a 2-to-1 exchange. So who is a FeedBurner subscriber? Well, if you're on my email notification list, you show up as a FeedBurner subscriber because my email system pulls out of the feed. If you use iTunes and you have my show dropped in as a show that automatically downloads when new episodes are available, you show up as a feed user. And if you use any kind of a podcatcher, like there's one called Juice out there where you can just set up feeds in it, and it does the same thing iTunes basically does, except it's not in the iTunes format. You're a FeedBurner, you're showing up as a FeedBurner user. Or if you use Live Bookmarks from something like Mozilla Firefox, where you actually see the updates as they come in real time in your bookmarks, then you are also a FeedBurner subscriber. The, you know, short of that, and the good part of it is that now that we're looking at over 1,000 FeedBurner listeners, we're actually looking at a community now of people that listen to this show on a fairly regular basis of about 2,000 people based on the numbers that I've seen. So we've gone from June 20th with zero. It was just me talking to myself in my car to about 2,000 people that listened to this show by October 9th. And how did that happen? That happened because of you. It's not because of me. I've told very few people, hey, I'm doing this, go listen to my show. All right? I've told, you know, a few people around me that I know are into this stuff, but basically all I did was set up the show and start talking. I went out and bought a little bit of traffic from StumbleUpon and Google, and did that for the first month to kind of seed the thing. And from that point, folks, it's been you. It's been you going out to forums. It's been you posting me on your blog. It's been word of mouth, you telling your friends. It's been people sending an email to somebody saying, hey, check this guy out. And it's even been some people that have gone way further than I ever expected, burning CDs and handing them out to people and saying, hey, listen to this. Or even just leaving them around like a little viral marketing thing. And I can't believe that you guys have done that much for me. And it means a lot to me. And I promise I'll keep trying to make this show better. And I'll keep trying to fulfill my promise to you, which is to help you figure out how to live that better life if times get tough or even if they don't. I will never take you guys for granted. And now it's time to put up. I said that when we hit 1,000 listeners, if you were in the listener appreciation contest, I would do a drawing and there's somebody would win. And they were going to win a free iPod Nano, and you can still have that if that's what you want. Somewhere along the way, somebody said, well, can I have it in silver instead if I win? And I said, hell yeah. If I'm going to do it for one, I'll do it for all. So the person who I'm about to announce has till Monday, close of business Monday, which is about 5 p.m. my time Monday, and I'll send him an email before this show's even published to claim and tell me where to ship his prize to and which one he wants before I, you know, give it to a runner-up, let's say. So the individual that won this is Robert Cockerman. Robert Cockerman, you have won the Listener Appreciation Contest. And the way I picked Robert is I dropped everybody into a spreadsheet. I did some sorting based on where the traffic came from and all, and pinned down 249 people entered this contest, which is way more than I expected. Way more. And I pinned it down to 100 people, just randomly cutting sections and segments out after doing different sortings. And then I asked somebody to give me a number between 1 and 50, and somebody else to give me a number between 1 and 50. And those two numbers added up to 49, and a line 49 was Robert Cockerman. So that was as random and as fair as I could make it, because I didn't want to cut out 249 or 259, whatever it was, little strips of paper and put them in a hat. It just seemed a little bit tedious. So I did it with a computer, but it's about as random as it could be. So, Robert, you have won. Thank you, everybody that has helped support this show. I am going to do something in the next round of this thing that's going to be even cooler. I'll be announcing that next week. And if you've already entered, you don't need to enter again for round two. We're going to keep this thing growing, keep it, you know. We're going to have to start figuring out ways to give out more prizes, though, because as more people enter, the odds of winning are going down, and I want everybody to have a shot to win, so I'll come up with some way to do multiple prizes. If you own a sporting goods store or a tactical shop, or you make something that's cool and you would like to maybe donate it as a prize for round two so that we could have more prizes and you'll get the free publicity that goes with it, or if you know somebody that has a shop or a store or something like that that might be interested, you could tell them about it. Email me at jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com. Tell me what you're thinking of donating, and I'll let you know if that works. And if so, you know, maybe I can give you some free publicity. I'm not ready to start charging people to advertise on the show yet, so now would be the time to go ahead and do that. It is a pretty good listener base. We've got some pretty loyal folks out there, and it'll give you some good exposure, and you can participate that way. So if you know of a source that would be interested, let them know. And if you are a source that's interested, get in touch with me, and let's see what we can do. I'm thinking of listener appreciation contest. I got another really cool contest that will only be for people that want to participate, but it'll be more of an active thing where what you do matters, and I might need some prizes for that thing as well. It might be even cooler, and I think it'll be very educational even for the people that don't participate. I'll also be announcing that next week as well. So that kind of does the house cleaning, gets the announcements out there, and you're probably thinking, well, I'm not Robert Cockerman, so I didn't win, so I'm tired of hearing about this. Tell me about something else. So our show topic today is the rapidly inflating price of food. Yesterday I did a show that was designed to help you tell your spouse or significant other that it is important to be prepping, it is important to be doing these things. And one of the main things I told you to discuss with them is the investment value of food. And what I said is, if you go out and you buy good quality food that you like to eat, if you practice the principle of, you know, eat what you store and store what you eat, which means instead of buying a bunch of MREs and number 10 cans and giant bags of pinto beans and rice, you go out and find different foods that'll store well, that'll store 6 months, 12 months. So there are a lot of foods out there that easily store 2 years, all right? You find stuff like that, you try it, you taste it, you sample it, you decide this is a good one, you start to up your stock on that, and you create a rotational pantry where you have the oldest food in the front, the newest food in the back. You label everything, and it's not labeled on its own. Label your date of purchase, what have you, and then you just start doing a rotation, and you keep buying a little bit more than you eat, and over time you build up a huge reserve of food. 6 months to a year should be your goal. Alright, and I said that if you did that, that your return of investment right now, because of inflation, because of rising food costs, would outperform any investment you can make. Well, if I had put you into a stock portfolio in Q3 of 2007, and today your stock portfolio had grown by 11%, you'd be pretty happy right now. In fact, you'd be thumbing your noses at a lot of people that just lost 10, 15, 20% of the value of their investments overnight. Okay? Right? You'd be looking, you should have done like I did, right? What if I put you in 4 stocks, and those 4 stocks went up in value, aggregated across all 4 of them, 25 to 30%? You know, would that be a good investment for you? But where do I get these numbers from? Well, there's an article in the LA Times that I will link to from this podcast at thesurvivalpodcast.com. You can look this episode up. If you're listening to it the day that it's published, it'll be the first episode on the site. If not, you might scroll down or use the search box. But you'll see in this article that the LA Times routinely tracks 16 basic food items, all right, that are things that everybody buys. Flour, you know, potatoes, apples, pork chops, vegetable oil, things like that. And they have this kind of their own little 16 food portfolio. And all they do is they go back to the, you know, four or five different stores and they compare prices quarter to quarter, year to year, you know, week to week, month to month. Well, they just did it. And for quarter three, which is what we've just about wrapped up now, okay, we've wrapped that up with September, October. We have to wrap that up as the end of September was the end of Q3 for most people. And what we saw was those 16 basic items went up 11% aggregated across all of them. 11%. Between Q3 of 2007 and Q3 of 2008. So 1 year, your rise in value of stored food, if you can't store all these items, but something very interesting about the ones you can, I'm about to reveal to you, but if you had all these food items pre-purchased, your return of investment was 11%. Your bank's paying less than 1%. ING Direct is about the best out there for a safe haven investment right now. They're paying like 4%. They probably just dropped it with what just happened with rate cuts. But I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that. All right. Stock market is tumbling. Putting money in the market right now is not a good idea. If you're stuck in there, you've already had your loss, probably now it's time you got to have to bite the bullet and ride it out. You have to make your own choice on that. But the market's tumbling. CD rates are 2-3. Maybe if you go really long term, you can get 4%. Foreign bonds, I'm kind of a fan of some of them, but, you know, you have a currency exchange risk. You have to lock your money up for a given set of time, and even the best ones I can find right now are paying between 6 and 7% with the currency exchange rate risk. I hear food just paid you back 11%, spending your money on something you would have bought anyway. Now, that's a tremendous investment opportunity, and what we're going to see is we're going to see the dollar continue to weaken, and we're going to see food continue to go up in price, at least for the foreseeable future. If we get into a true Greater Depression, as it's been called, eventually food prices could fall. The question is, will people have the money to buy it then? All right? And it'll still be a solid investment because you still need your food. But for the short term, and I'm talking the next year, expect to see food prices continue to surge upward. Our government's going to continue to be stupid. They're going to be continuing to force us to use ethanol, even though it sucks. It's destroying the environment. It is not reducing dependence on foreign oil, and it is driving up the price of food. They're going to continue to do that because they're stupid and because they don't care, because they've been bought off by lobbyists out of places like Iowa, right, where they grow all that corn. So that's going to continue to push us into a greater and greater food shortage. The dollar is going to continue to weaken. All these things are driving food prices up. Now, you know, let's look at what has happened to the farmer and the rancher at the same time, though. You would think of food prices, especially agricultural prices. And I'll give away one product that I'm going to talk about in a second with a list. I'm going to give you some items and how much they've gone up. But flour went up 37%. 37%. Now, some people don't know this, but you get flour by grinding wheat. So you would think that the wheat farmer is getting more for his wheat. But overall, in our country, the money going to the farmer, the rancher, has gone down in the same period of time by 19%. And what that's telling you is to make the food priced to where people will still buy it, to make it affordable, the farmer's taking a pay cut because the cost of distributing, storing, inventorying, and putting the food on shelves is going up dramatically. It's done it with the price of gas and oil, but it's also done it from the fact that since the dollar's weaker and, you know, people are having to be paid more to do things like stocking store shelves and even drive trucks, all right? Because wages have gone up a little bit in those sectors. The reason they've gone up is because people won't do the job unless it pays enough to at least pay to go to work, all right? So that's the effect of a declining value of a dollar. That's the effect of inflation, that some wages in some places go up. Now, the people getting paid more, they're not living a better life. They're not better off because their wages went up 10%. All right, they're actually able to buy today 1% less when you look at food, because food went up 11. All right, but all that's saying is that the price of this stuff is going into the distribution channel, and that price is going up, and it's because we're stupid. All right, we're buying food from all over the world. We're shipping food from Pennsylvania to California, from California to Pennsylvania. We're not living on our local economies. Hopefully, we'll start to shift our thought process about that in the future. But right now, it is the way it is. And if you get your food from a grocery store, that's the supply channel you're dealing with. And that's why you're going to see prices continue to rise. So looking item by item, what prices rose the most? Well, I already told you flour. Flour went up 37%. Now, a bag of flour makes an awful lot of loaves of bread, either traditional yeast bread or the beer bread recipe that I gave you. So flour is a good, solid investment that produces a great staple if you learn to do a little bit of cooking for yourself. But the important thing to understand is that flour is in so many things, so many dried, boxed, pre-prepared foods that are out there that you can go out and buy that store well on your shelves have a base of flour. Now, because they have a base of flour, they're going up with the flour. If the flour is 50% of their base, they've probably seen a rise in price of about 16-17%, okay? Because the cost 37% more for their manufacturer as well, so they pass the cost on you. Trust me, a business owner doesn't eat the increase in cost. He passes it on to his consumer. That's the only way he can stay in business. So flour is driving up the price of a lot of other goods that you can buy. Pastas are primarily based on wheat flour, all right? So that's just one example. There's other things out there like Bisquick. Bisquick has some extra stuff in it to make it easier to prepare certain things, but it's basically flour, all right? Bisquick will do a show someday on all the different cool things you can make with Bisquick. But all of those things are going up in price. Now, what's common about all these flour-based dry goods and flour itself? It stores well. If you put flour in Ziploc, take the big sacks, put them in like a big giant Ziploc bag, shove them down into a 5-gallon bucket and seal that up, flour stores extremely well. You have to keep, pests away from it. You have to keep it in a relatively stable temperature environment so that it doesn't, cake together, doesn't get moist, or do anything like that. But the reality is that flour is a great long-term storage staple, and many of the items, again, pastas and other dried, pre-prepared things that have flour bases, will store in your pantry for at least a year, if not longer. So that was one of the most highly appreciating values that's stored long-term. What else went up? Potatoes. I've talked about potatoes before. You get a little bit creative with potatoes and go beyond mashed and french fries. You can do a lot of cool stuff with potatoes. I talked about a roasted potato recipe that I do in a prior show. You can go listen to that show if you want to. Maybe someday I'll do a little video on how I prepare those. But like I said, my family will forego steak to eat those potatoes, especially when I make them with the Yukon Gold potatoes. Potatoes went up 32%. 32% in a year. Now, you can actually, if you take the time to do things the right way, make potatoes store for a year. You can definitely store them for 6 months, all right? So a good stockpile of potatoes, and maybe, like I said, maybe I'll do a show someday on storage of produce and different ways that you can store produce without refrigeration and talk about the specific way you store potatoes. But if you just go and look for dry storage of potatoes on Google, you'll find exactly what you need to do to make your potatoes store a lot longer, and it's not expensive and it's not difficult. All right, and you probably have some place in your home that you can do it. If you have a root cellar, you're in ideal shape. I wish I had one, but I don't. So there's another item that stores very well long term. What else went up in price? Cheddar cheese, 21% return on an investment of cheese. Now, that cheese, it could be a block of cheddar cheese, or it could be cheese that's in a pre-prepared item that stores well for long term. The thing about cheese, though, is cheese actually is a pretty good item for storage. And you can take some extra steps with store-bought cheese to make sure that it lasts longer. You really need refrigeration unless you have like an ideal situation, a cave in your property or something. But, I mean, my point is you can buy quite a bit of cheese to store it up. And it's not imperative that it go in a deep freezer or anything like that. So cheese, 21%. Apples. Apples was the next item on the list. 21% is the price of the apples have gone up. Now, one thing you can do is maybe plant some daggone apple trees. I keep talking about this, folks. If you don't have any fruit trees growing on your property, you know, see if you can get hold of some and plant them. It'll take several years for them to start producing. That means you should have planted them several years ago. That's all I can say. It's like when the guy comes around and says, when's the time to start investing and saving for retirement? If you haven't already done so today, when's the time to start planting some trees? If you haven't already done so today. All right. But the other side of that is apples actually store very well long-term as well. Well, 21% rise in the cost of apples. What else went up? Vegetable oil. No surprise there. A lot of it comes from corn bases. And other grains, by the way, that are now being used to produce ethanol also produce vegetable oils. Vegetable oil's gone up 17%. All I can say is, how long does a sealed, unopened jug of vegetable oil last in your pantry? Lasts a dadgone long time. And if you ever got into a really shit-hit-the-fan scenario and you have a diesel vehicle, you can actually run your... It's also not too cold out without even converting it. You can actually run a diesel vehicle on pure corn oil. It'll work if you have to do it. I don't recommend it on a daily basis or anything, but if you had to get someone to the hospital and there was no gas, that might be a way you could get it done. So it serves two purposes. But oil provides a valuable source of fat into the diet. It's used in the preparation of many goods, and it stores well, and it's going up in price. Eggs, can't really store eggs very long. I mean, they last as long as they're going to last, but they've gone up 13%. Probably would have had a good return of investment if you picked up three or four bantam hens and had them laying eggs for you. All right, that would be another way to take advantage of that. But again, anything that uses eggs, maybe in a dried or powdered form, has also been going up in price. So it's pre-prepared goods. Now, some things you can't really store but are interesting to look at. Pork chops, one of the items on the list, went up 6.8%. And hamburger went up 5%. Now, those two items are dependent upon the electrical grid to be stored. But I think something's interesting here. The four items with the highest appreciation and cost were flour, potatoes, cheese, and apples. All four are relatively good items for storage purposes or are bases or items used in pre-prepared things that store extremely well. Pork chops and hamburger, while they, you know, require deep freezer, you have to have freezer space, if the grid goes down, your food spoils, that type of thing, they only went up 5 and 6%, respectively. So the best value in storage was the stuff that stores well. All right, or the best value in food was the stuff that stores well anyway. So it's time to really start looking at what we have coming ahead. And one of the ways to project what's coming next is, what are the futures markets doing? Well, corn futures right now are up 70% over last year. And they were high last year. So think about how many things have corn in them. Not just corn on the cob you buy at the store, but how many times do you look at a box and it says, you know, cornmeal or corn syrup or corn anything in that item, all right? So corn's a base of many of our foods. That's just telling you we're going to see this continue to go. Wheat futures, they're not up as high because they don't make ethanol out of wheat. They're still up 11%. So we see another 11% rise coming in the cost of wheat and wheat-based items like flour and things like that. These are short-term futures. These are 30 or 60-day futures. I don't remember which one. All right. Live cattle is up 8%. So again, the biggest appreciation is agricultural goods that store well or produce items that store well. The lowest appreciation is in livestock. All right. So why is that the case? Well, it's a case because a lot of people are going, meat's expensive, and they're buying less meat. They're using smaller portions. They're going to vegetables and things that cost less, which is good for us. It really is. So that's really what's going on there. So now that you understand that, hopefully you kind of get how valuable storing food really is, and maybe it makes you a little less likely to gravitate to the MREs, you know, and the giant tubs of rice and beans. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that stuff. It's a good supplement. It's a good addition, all right? And it stores wonderfully, the number 10 cans and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with putting some of that stuff up, but you'll do a lot better If you also include the things that you would eat every day, and you start, you know, trying new things and finding new things to store and finding new ways to prepare them. So with that, I've prepared a challenge for every listener out there. This is something I'm going to challenge you to do, and I want to hear your stories about it in the forum, what you've tried, how you've tried it, and what you've done with it. And that is the 5-item-a-week challenge. Right? It's time to get serious. It's not a 1-item-a-week challenge, right? We need to be starting to build our preps heavily right now. So the only way we're going to do that is to get off the pot, so to speak, and get it done. Right? So what I'm challenging you to do for the next 4 weeks, each week, go out and try 5 things you've never tried before that have good storage lives. Just buy 1 each, right, and have 1 a day during the week or during the weekend as an adjunct to your meal. Go out and try some sort of instant potatoes in a pouch, right, that'll store well. Go out and find a canned good, all right. Anything that will store without refrigeration or freezing, anything. I don't care what it is, but some, and I don't care if you put 2 of them together to make a meal, right? You have item 1 and item 2 and they go together. But 5 things, try it, and then when you're done trying it, decide, this is a yes, this is a no. My hope is that at least half, will be items that you guys, you know, you look across the table and you go, this is pretty good. I like this. I could eat this. And then I want you to go out and stockpile some of each one. Okay, but only after you try it first. And let's start making a list and saying, these are the things I tried. This is what I found out about them. I'm going to put a recipe forum on the boards today on the forums, which is the survivalpodcast.com/forum. All right. And in that board, we can share recipes. But let's start. Well, I'm going to do 1 thread. I'll sticky it to the top. I'll call it the 5-item challenge. And I'll go out this weekend myself. I'll pick up 5 new items. I'll play 2. And we'll all start saying, I bought this, I bought this, I bought this. Here's how much it cost. Here's what we did with it. Here's what we thought about it. All right? We'll get that thread going. We'll all learn a lot together by doing this. And we'll all be building up our food storage in a creative, new, inventive way. And that's the other thing I want to talk about. Have fun with this, right? Everything's going to crap around us right now. We look around, the market's tumbling. They throw money at it, it tumbles more. They throw more money at it, tumbles more. They cut interest rates, it tumbles a little bit more. Maybe it'll go up today some. I don't know. All right? But what I'm telling you is, you know, this looks like disaster, doom and gloom everywhere. And that's why I got off the economy here for a while, because I think I've explained it well enough for a while. And, you know, just because AIG got another $13 billion or $23 billion or whatever the hell it was today, doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter. Basically, the Fed completely owns AIG now. It's been completely taken over. Right? That's depressing. We just mortgage our kids' future for about $1 trillion. That's depressing. Right? This is something you can do to combat the entire situation, and you can enjoy it. So have fun with it. Create recipes. So that's what I'm going to add the recipes board as well, so we can start publishing recipes. What do you do with noodles? What do you do with rice? What do you do with beans? Let's start sharing recipes with each other. Let's start also saying, well, to make this, you need A, B, C, and D. And each one of these items cost X, Y, and Z in price. So the total cost of preparing this meal is $6, and it serves 4 people with leftovers, right? And there's a lot of meals out there that do that are good home-cooking meals that people enjoy actually eating. So let's have fun with it. Let's start sharing with each other. Let's start saying, hey, this works for me. Hey, I didn't like this, but if you like stuff that tastes like whatever, you probably would. It just wasn't for us. Or I liked it, my wife hated it, right? We'll start to learn, we'll start to grow, we'll start to develop more of what we can do together as a team, because all of us together are more than the sum of our parts. You take 2 gifted people, you put them together, and the 2 combined can do more than the 2 can individually if you looked at it and judged the total result, okay? So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to evolve this as a team. As I close up on this episode, I want to talk a little bit about gardening. There's never been a better time to garden, and you might be going, Jack, the winter's coming. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of us live where it freezes. It freezes here in Dallas, too. But there are crops that you can get in the ground right now that'll produce a little bit for you before the frost comes. There are some crops out there that are frost tolerant. I'm not going to go individually into them today, but a lot of them that'll tolerate a little moderate frost are a lot of the greens. Swiss chard, spinach, some of the lettuces and things like that will tolerate moderate freezes. But one of the ideas I wanted to lay on you today, and I'm going to see if I can put one of these together for myself this weekend or next, is what I call the portable greenhouse or the mini greenhouse. The mini greenhouse idea is pretty daggone simple. It's a frame of like 1x2 cheap lumber framed together with an empty bottom, and on it is plastic that's stapled down for 5 panels, the top and the 4 sides. And it's designed to either be, if it's going to be cold all day long, your plants just stay in there. Or if you, in an area like mine, I get a lot of days in the winter, even when it's freezing at night, where it's 50 degrees during the day and the sun's shining and the ground's warm. So it could be simply put over top of container garden or actual garden to protect plants that are growing there, and remove during the day so it doesn't get too hot for them. And a lot of the greens and stuff actually taste best when it's cool out, when it's really nice and cool and crisp out. So that's an idea I wanted to lay on people. And as you build them, post pictures of them, do it yourself board on the forum and show people what you've done. And I think I could build 2 or 3 of these, and I have my 8x8 raised bed that I'm about to kind of cut to the ground and take the winter squash out of, maybe make my last harvest of my pole beans, and re-prepare that ground and start planting spinach and lettuce and stuff like that for the winter. And if I plant it in little, you know, groups, I'll be able to just make several of these little mini greenhouse things to put over them, and that'll get them through those frosty nights. Now, you may need a lot better protection than that if you live in Boston, all right? It's up to you, but I think for a lot of us throughout much of the country, that will get these cold, hardy crops through those cold nights. It'll be easy to do, and inexpensive to do. And then we can start taking some of these items from the garden, even in the wintertime, and combining them with the 5-item challenge, right? And by doing that, we'll start to create more variety for ourselves and more dependence. And because we're gardening through the winter, right, we're going to stock up on our seeds. We're going to start our plants early this year because we have these little mini greenhouses we can use as cold frames as well. And we're going to put a lot of food in the ground this spring together. That's what we're going to do. And now's the time to start. If you don't even have a garden bed prepared yet, you know what? It's a lot easier right now to dig up the ground, to build raised beds, to do things like that, than it's going to be in the late spring when it starts to get hot and it's really too late to get stuff in the ground for that first crop of the year. So I'm challenging you to do that too. Start stepping up your gardening efforts. I don't care if it's just putting some container gardens together and things like that, getting your hands on some good topsoil, good garden soil for those things, or building raised beds, or just digging beds in the ground. Now's the time to do it. Let's get serious about it, because 2009 is not going to be any better than 2008. I think it's going to be worse. I think we're going to hit the bottom somewhere in 2009. At least I hope we hit the bottom somewhere in 2009. And then the other thing we have to realize is once we hit the bottom, it's not over. It doesn't immediately, okay, we're bottomed, now we're going to recover. Japan's been at the bottom for a decade. They've been flat. So we don't know how long this thing's going to last, so it's time to really get serious now. And those things, storing food, finding local, and when you're storing these food items, and when you're out there trying these new things, what you're going to be doing is creating ways to cook dinner for less money, and to enjoy it, and to have fun with it, and to be able to share with other people different ideas and ways to do that, to just start living like we did in 1950 again, just for a little while. It might bring your family closer together. It might bring us closer together as a community. It might be good for us. And if we make it through that period of time, and we don't suffer the way that the masses do, when the rebound comes, and it will, folks, all right? Sooner or later, it will. It could be a year. It could be 5 years. It could be 10. We don't know. But if we learn how to reconnect with our common sense in this period of time, and learn how to do without and still live a good life, then when the rebound comes, we're all going to do very, very well. Because when our income rebounds, when our incomes go up, we're going to have so much surplus income to put away. We won't come out of this thing trying to pay off our debt. Our debt will be gone. We won't come out of this thing going, it's time to go eat filet mignon again. It'll be, let's buy a little bit of extra steak this week to go with this item, and let's, you know, put a little more meat on the plate this week, all right? And because of that, we'll be a stronger, more united survivalist community. ready to take on whatever comes and ready to keep living a better life no matter what happens. Because that's what it's really all about, folks. And I think that kind of wraps up today's show. I hope today's show was fun for you. I hope it educated you. I hope it brought you around to some things maybe you hadn't thought of. And I really hope you'll take the five-item challenge. The more people that participate, the more collective knowledge we'll get. And I want you to understand that about our forum. Our forum is not just a place to talk. It's a place to learn. And by more active participation, we learn from other people's successes and mistakes quicker. And the collective knowledge is more powerful than any individual can be alone. That's how power is created on the internet today. It's the collective power of collective thought and knowledge combined. So get in there, participate. Again, go by the website, thesurvivalpodcast.com. Comment on this episode. Comment on other episodes. If you have a suggestion for a topic, please send it to jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com. Or there's a contact form on the website that you can use to get in touch with me as well. And I read just about every email and every comment and every suggestion that I get. I don't get all around to all of them, but I really try, and they really mean a lot to me, so keep them coming. Get on the forum. Communicate with other members. New look and feel to the website has been promised. It'll be coming very, very soon. I've selected that with your help on picking the logos. Didn't exactly pick the logo everybody wanted, but I picked the one that was kind of really the winner when you looked at all the things summed together and fit with the color of the site theme. So that's coming soon, so that'll be kind of cool and something for everybody to see. And remember, continue to join our listener appreciation contest. I don't know exactly what the next round's going to be yet. I have a pretty cool idea. I'm going to come up with some. But as long as you're in it, as long as you're telling other people, when the next round is launched, you'll have a chance to win whatever it is. And we're going to try to make it more than one winner this time. So keep doing that. Again, this has been Jack Spierko with the Survival Podcast, helping you figure out how to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
You can scream and you can holler. It really doesn't matter. All gets spent.